This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:05 in the evening, and our first story today poses a question. Are late bloomers more successful? Or maybe the question we should be asking is, are late bloomers better set up for success mentally?
This is coming from a piece written by Charles Duhigg in New York Magazine, which posited that getting pushed around by life forces you to deal and trains you in the mental habits of managing difficulty and reframing expectations.
So Duhigg argues that the people who are also rans, you know, the people who didn't necessarily win, who aren't stars in youth, who don't land the best jobs early on, they are the ones who have to cast about for direction and meaning and also start learning coping mechanisms earlier. Meanwhile, early achievers first encounter the notion that, oh, maybe not everything can go right a bit later in life. And then they take that hard because they have little practice managing struggle.
Part of this is based on his own experience. When Duhigg graduated from Harvard Business School, he was rejected from prestigious jobs and ended up in journalism. Not the worst place to be. He's since written about that experience, saying, as a result, I was saved from the temptation of easy riches. I've been thankful ever since, grateful that my bad luck made it easier to choose a profession that I loved.
He also goes on to write that others like him, who were also forced to scramble for work and grapple with setbacks after graduation, wound up richer, more powerful, and more content than everyone else. So, I mean, there's a lot to unpack here. We're talking about someone who is now a Pulitzer Prize winning author, and he is talking about being a late bloomer career-wise, but he was also a graduate of Harvard Business School. So maybe his parameters of success are a bit stringent, and also his definition of what constitutes a late bloomer, I don't know if everybody would agree.
Though it does seem fair to say that encountering failures definitely teaches you resilience and emotional flexibility, both things that can provide some measure of security in a world that can change with very little warning. And it also stands to reason that if you encounter failures early, you start building that resilience earlier too.
So I think there's definitely something to be said for this, not least because speaking for myself, you know, as somebody who was quite a type A in school, somebody who really wanted to achieve, school and your parents kind of combine to give you a structure, right? You get A's, you're aiming for over 90, you're trying to be first in class. There are very specific goals that you try to hit in order to be an early achiever. But then once you come out to the workplace, firstly, promotions take a long time. Secondly, if you're like me and you joined, you know, two flat organizations in a row, you start to realize, oh, okay, there is no promotion that's going to happen. I don't know what's... And all your parameters of success start changing. All the things that you thought would give you meaning start changing. And I think I felt pretty lost, you know, when I was maybe between 23 to 25, when I first started graduating and started working, because all those goals that give you achievements early on, they all disappear.
Yeah, I imagine then there's a lot of pressure to achieve a lot when you're young, when you're at a young age. You know, for example, if you get a lot of A's in primary school, then suddenly you fall out in high school, right? Secondary school, rather. You do feel that loss of sense of identity, because I think then, how do you deal with that, right? For such a long time, your parents and people around you, wow, you're so smart, you're so good, you're so clever, you're so studious, and then out of the blue, you're not anymore. What do you do?
And it's even harder, I think, when you're talking about a professional life, because there, nobody's making decisions for you anymore. Yeah. You are the one making decisions, and you are the one having to make judgment calls about whether or not this job suits you, whether or not it will bring you success and meaning and all that good stuff. And it's that much worse, I think, if you encounter like what Charles Duhigg did, the situation where, oh, okay, I'm not going to be entering these high paying jobs, or people don't actually want me. And I think if you are a late bloomer and you've had a couple of doors slammed in your face, you've been told no a few times more, that you would understand A, how that feels, and B, you would know what it takes for you to kind of bounce back from that. But if your first time encountering it is at 30 or 40, you know, I think that would be pretty hard.
I think, though, it also doesn't help the fact that the world really is telling you that you have to be successful when you're young. Because if you don't reach a certain level of success, say when you are 23 and below, say, the age of 30, then you've essentially failed, because the world really overvalues youth. And then when you've hit over 30, your successes come later. You don't see value in that. And I think you're quite It's a bit tunnel vision in that sense.
Yeah, it overvalues youth and it overvalues being a prodigy. But let us know what you think. Are you a late bloomer, especially professionally? You know, did you find success a little bit later on? And do you think that it gave you the skills to be more successful? Because Charles Duhigg certainly did. And we're curious about whether or not you found that to be true. You can call us 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio to let us know. We are going to be crossing over now to Dr. Eugene T, Senior Lecturer at the Department of Psychology over at Help University. Dr. Eugene, thanks for joining us this evening. So let's start with, how would you even define a late bloomer? You know, what is the psychological understanding of it, I suppose?
Good evening, and thank you for having me. There are actually a few ideas from the psychological sciences on what constitutes a late bloomer. Often this is related to something called stages of development. So generally speaking, the term late bloomer is used to describe someone, usually a child, whose talents, capabilities, or abilities are not evident at the age that they are expected to have them. But these late bloomers often display the precociousness and the skill later on, often exceeding those of their same age peers later on in their lives. One model I can think of is the classic, what we call psychosocial stages of development, when during the ages of 5 and up to about one's teens, the individual works towards developing competence, so identifying and working towards what they're good at, what makes them unique and different from others. There is a sort of challenge to attain industry and to overcome a sense of inferiority. And perhaps that explains why at this age, children start comparing themselves in terms of their academic and sporting talent relative to others in their cohort. Schooling environments, as you've rightly mentioned, along with grading systems, getting an A, getting that score of 90 and above, these really also emphasize these competence differences further.
Do you agree with the theory that by not being an early achiever, you are more likely to do better later on?
No, I think the Duhigg article raises some very interesting points. I think there are actually advantages to not being an early achiever. There might be something as that I might want to call a curse of success. So yes, there might be, long story short. So early successes often create expectations that future successes are similarly or easily attainable and might even create a sense of complacency. So while to the best of my knowledge, there isn't a theory prescribing the benefits of not being an early achiever, those who achieve successes later on may actually acquire psychological skills. Like you mentioned, adaptability, resilience, tenacity, grit, dogged persistence, and importantly, the ability to learn from failure, all which may not necessarily be afforded, say, to someone who has cruised through life, who has had successes and opportunities handed to them on a silver platter.
So just briefly, I mean, assuming that you are that person, right? You are somebody who has had I wouldn't say an easy ride, but success has mm-hmm. come to you. You've become accustomed to it. And now, say at 35 or 40, you're finding yourself mm-hmm. unemployed for the first time. And, you know, maybe mm-hmm. you haven't had that opportunity to build mm-hmm. that kind of resilience. What advice would you have? I mean, how do you learn that later on?
I think you could actually, I mean, just as a general advice, to look back to what it is that has brought you so far up to that point. Sometimes failures and sometimes the sort of difficulties that one experiences throughout their life might be due to circumstances, but surely there are certain skills you might have acquired up to that very point in order for you to leverage on before you chart your course towards something that might bring you further successes. I think there is much to be said about, say, quarter life and midlife crises when individuals have the opportunity to actually reflect a little bit more deeply about what they really want to do and the kind of meaning that they want from their careers. So I think maybe thinking back, reflecting upon what it is that has gotten you all this far, maybe not necessarily just technical skills, but the kinds of personality characteristics or the strengths. Maybe you're someone who is naturally inquisitive. Maybe you're someone who is very good at communicating. So these are, I think, what we will call transferable skills. I think these are actually useful. And surely these apply to more than just the industry that you were previously working in.
So when it comes to parenting, why might a strong focus on early achievement be detrimental?
I strongly suspect that this has something to do with anchoring the child's sense of self-worth based on standards that are external to themselves. So say, for instance, a parent who praises or validates a child's sense of self-worth based off their exam scores, for instance, it makes this favorable treatment conditional. Children very quickly recognize that how much they are accepted or valued by their caregivers, their parents, is dependent on something that is external, in this case, the external standards of performance. The other way of thinking, it's only okay to be me, or I'm only going to be loved or accepted if I achieve a certain grade on my test or exam. So some psychologists call this conditional positive regard. And if you want, you can actually contrast that with a parent who encourages their children to do their best, to also importantly acknowledge effort, even if it does not result in a successful outcome. Such parents convey to their children that a one-off missed opportunity is not the be-all and end-all of their self-worth, and also very crucially tells them that they have the chance to grow and improve.
So with that said, I think we've been hearing a lot about, I guess, the quote-unquote tiger parent, right? And yep. There are obviously pros and cons to each, rather pros and cons to being a tiger parent. Because on the one hand, you might end up with a super motivated, super successful child who grows into an adult in the same vein. On the other hand, you also have people who push their children perhaps a bit too hard. How do you balance that notion that, look, I want my child to be best set up, you know, in all ways possible, while also not wanting to have a person who's not set up to understand failure?
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting question. I think we could probably have an entire segment on this. I think the research on tiger parents is actually an interesting one because it's often assumed that it really does lead to high levels of academic achievement or if not extracurricular in addition to scholastic achievement. The term, as some of our listeners will know, is popularized by Amy Chua, who wrote a book called Bell Hymn of the Tiger Mother. So as the name suggests, the style of parenting is really, it's really strict. But it's also linked to a whole host of negative psychological outcomes, anxiety, inability to cope with failures, increased stress, possibly even depression. So I would say, to answer the question, balancing this approach with a more supportive, nurturing, dare I say, empathetic approach might lead to a better set of outcomes. So, say, encouraging and recognizing effort will be one. Coaching supportively. I think something that we Asians have to do a little bit better, acknowledge emotions, just on the ways in which we might balance out the seemingly harsh regime, if you will, of a tiger parent, and to good effect.
Should early achievers then be worried that they have peaked? Should early achievers be worried that they have peaked? And if they do think about themselves like that, how can they deal with it?
Well, I think just framing this sort of approach to your life and just thinking about what we like to call a growth mindset. So if we assume that your ability has actually peaked, you're actually looking at your capabilities as being static. This is as good as I'll ever be. And I think if you just change the mindset into one which we call a growth mindset, there is more to learn. I can still improve on this. I think that really sets individuals, not just children, but adults as well, for a life of continuous learning, continuous improvement, continuous development, self-improvement. And I think also as a sort of side effect, a positive side effect from that, is to recognize that opportunities still exist if you care to look for them. You just have to keep your eyes peeled for it.
And while keeping your eyes peeled, I think there is often, it's easy to get tunnel vision, right? Because you've been doing one thing a certain way for a long time. You might be very good at that thing. And then you encounter failure and now you're kind of cast adrift and you have to look for that other thing that you might be good at or that other career. How do you anticipate those periods of becoming a late bloomer, if you will? Or how do you recognize where it might be that you might be able to explore?
I think you just have to examine what it is that you have accomplished all this while. It's very easy, like you said, to actually narrow down into things that, or the situations that you're in right now, say, sense of self-pity that you have, you know, gotten yourself into. But I think just keeping your prospects open, your opportunities open, maybe seeking social support as well, maybe reconnecting with people that you have not had a chance to have a conversation with for a while, just getting in touch with them, seeing how it is that they're doing. That's always something that someone can actually teach you. Someone that, you know, maybe from, say, your high school, maybe even your university days. Just going back to that Duhigg example, he's actually reconnected with people from his Harvard Business School. And so I think he actually gained a lot from that as well. And to seeing them as examples of individuals who have really, really financially successful careers, but may not necessarily be happy. I think happiness, success is very personal. It's also very individual. That's probably not a straightforward answer I can give. It's a very complex question. But I would say connecting with individuals, speaking with them, just thinking about what it is that really makes for a meaningful life to each and every one of us. A meaningful life usually consists of things that we can do for the benefit of the society or the community at large, not just for ourselves.
Thank you so much for weighing in today. That was Dr. Eugene T, Senior Lecturer at the Department of Psychology over at Help University. And we want to hear from you as well. Are you a late bloomer? Do you think that it gave you the skills to be more successful, to kind of learn to cope with failure? Do you identify with the whole thing about being told to be an early achiever from a young age, were you, you know, a child of a tiger parent? These are all the questions that we want answers to. You can call us 7733 2900 to weigh in. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.